Good morning. Good morning. So we continue with the power of now, and my message this morning is the meaning of surrender. We talked a little bit about that last week and some more today, but because we have Freddie Weber here for her one-woman show, we're going to start off my talk with some music from the show, and I just want to tell you that when Freddie did this show for Wednesday Wisdom, there were two things. I laughed till I thought I was going to cry, and I cried because it's tender, it's poignant, it's funny. It's a real story, and it's beautiful and done so well. So please welcome Freddie Weber to give you a little taste of her one-woman show. Freddie Weber, come on up. And if you want to say whatever you want to say.
Hi. Thank you. I'm honored to be here again. A little bit about the show. It's 1 hour long, and it's a love offering, and I invite you. It's a musical comedy, as she described it, but it has a deep spiritual meaning because it's based on my work with Eckhart Tolle and the Power of Now. So in that your talk today apparently is about surrender, which is so hard for me to do, really. This song is what gets in the way of me surrendering to that still small voice inside that's there all the time, but sometimes I can't hear it. I can't access it because of you probably don't have this. Okay, so here's the song. Sort of rap, kind of a rap song. Really, even at my age. 60,000 thoughts a day. When I'm at work or I'm at play. They're in my mind all night and day. 60,000 thoughts a day. And they're all the same thoughts, sort of. Over and over and over and over. What do I have to do today? Where do I have to go today? What am I going to wear today? What about my hair today? And what am I going to eat? What am I going to eat? Me, 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 me. I may not be much, but I'm all that I think about. You too. So what do we do about it? Eckhart Tolle says, be here now. So when I first heard that, I thought, well, that was like about 15 years ago. I remember I thought, well, yeah, I'm here. I'm here now. What is be? What is be here now? With so many, many thoughts going on inside my head, please tell me how. What is here? Where's here? If I'm thinking about the past or way ahead into the future, am I here? I don't think so. You want to know what goes inside my head? Not pretty, but you are trapped here. Oh, I've got so many things to do today, and what's for dinner? What he said to me and what I should have said, and what's for dinner? Am I gaining weight? I should work out. I wonder what's for dinner. Am I here? Next question. Who is God? They say God is love. Is he that man with the white beard who knows everything so high above? Who am I? Who are you? Are we one, like all the Buddhists say, or are we two? Oh, I've got so many things to do today, and what's for dinner? What he said to me and what I should have said, and what's for dinner? He's too thin, she's too fat, He's so rich and I want that, and I'm too short and I'm too dumb and I'm not smart and I'm no fun. Blah, 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 blah. Whew. When I go looking in my mind, I hear, oh, so many voices, with oh, so many choices. They scramble up my brain. I've tried and tried to sort it out, but lately I just want to scream and shout. I give it all to you, God. I give it all to you. I surrender. I give it all to you. Notice the silence. No more thought, no more fear. Could it be just for a moment I was here? Not for long, that's okay. Well, at least I understand now how to pray. There was nothing in my head just for a moment. Nothing in my head but God. Today,
you have no reason not to be here at 12. We're feeding you. It's a delightful show. Thank you so much, Freddie. And that's mostly what I wanted to say. I have a few things to add. But truly, you get the gist. It's where do we connect is in the present moment. We connect with Source, and therefore, only from that place do we connect to others from that still place, from that place of oneness, from that one life that is God's life. So, but it reminded me of a few things, especially this, the whole thing about resistance. If you're in resistance, anyone not know what resistance is? Okay, y'all know by the chuckles, you know what it is. It's when you say what is, isn't, or shouldn't be. That's resistance. When you say, here's my life and it shouldn't be the way it is, that's resistance. And it's when you're in resistance, you're not allowing presence. You're not allowing God. Especially, in the last week I talked about relationships, especially in relationships, if you're in a place where you're arguing with someone, you're not present. And that doesn't mean, and Eckhart's really clear about this, that doesn't mean that you can never say no in relationship. That's called a pushover, a victim. That isn't the same thing as being clear about who you are, saying the truth, without having to defend or convince or resist someone else. does not mean you stay in abusive relationships. It does mean the exit is not a reaction. It is a response, a choice, an exit, or a discussion. So really important stuff to consider about life. So if God is all there is and God is present everywhere, then when we get still, and there's nothing, as Freddie says, none of that other blah, 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 what's for dinner, he should have said something, I should have said that, blah, 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 blah. All of that stuff silences for a moment, and we can be here now, and that's when we connect to source. But back to speaking about resistance, there's a story. The last time I told you this story, I told you it was a true story, because I read that it was a true story. It is not a true story, but it's a good story. Snopes says, no, it didn't happen. Okay, all right, Snopes. Happy to have you verify this non-story. So here it is. This was a conversation between a couple of ships. The Americans say, please divert your course 15 degrees to the north to avoid a collision. The Canadians say, recommend you divert your course 15 degrees to the south to avoid a collision. Americans say, this is a captain of a U.S. Navy ship. I say again, divert your course. Canadians say, no, I say again, divert your course. Americans, this is an aircraft carrier, USS Abraham Lincoln, the second largest ship in the United States Atlantic Fleet. We are accompanied by three destroyers, three cruisers, and numerous support vessels. I demand that you change your course 15 degrees north. That's 15 degrees north, or countermeasures will be undertaken to ensure the safety of this ship. Canadians, this is a lighthouse. Your call. See how good a story it is. But you know what? That could be, we could personally have that story quite often, where we're so certain of our way, and it's an incorrect way. We don't know the full picture. So we argue for our limitations, and then something or other will awaken us to the truth of who we are and what is really happening. So, surrender. When you take a breath and release it, you're letting go. When you are still, you're letting go. I want to once more say that Ernest Holmes doesn't teach surrender in the same way Eckhart Tolle does. In fact, he only uses the word surrender twice in the textbook that we call it our textbook, The Science of Mind. And in both cases, it's a giving up. It's a releasing to something else. It's a giving up. That is not what Tolle means. However, if you think about our prayer, and you realize that our prayer starts with a recognition of the allness, the fullness, the greatness of this one power that is divine mind, everywhere present, all-knowing. And the second step of our prayer is to connect with that power, to remind ourselves that we are one with it right now. Well, isn't that the same as surrendering to the presence? So in that way, even though it didn't use the same language, the activity is the same activity. It's not about staying in your heads, and neither is our prayer. Although it starts there, but if it doesn't enter our hearts, it's of little use. The poet Rumi says this about surrender, says, you and I have spoken all these words, but as for the way we have to go, words are no preparation. There is no getting ready other than grace. My faults have stayed hidden. One might call that a preparation. I have one small drop of knowing in my soul. Let it dissolve in your ocean. There are so many threats to it. Inside each of us, there's continual autumn. Our leaves fall and are blown out over the water. A crow sits at the blackened limbs and talks about what's gone. Then your generosity returns. Spring, moisture, intelligence, the scent of hyacinth and rose and cypress. Joseph is back. And if you don't feel in yourself the freshness of Joseph, be Jacob. Weep and then smile. Don't pretend to know something you haven't experienced. There's a necessary dying. And then Jesus is breathing again. Very little grows on jagged rock. Be ground. Be crumbled. So wildflowers will come up where you are. You've been stony for too many years. Try something different. Surrender. You've been stony for too many years. Try something different. Surrender. Beautiful, beautiful idea from the poet Rumi that always compares himself and talks about the great presence as the beloved, as the friend with a capital F, as the power and presence of the great good. When I wrote my blog this week, I was reminded of Desiderata because if, and some of you who are of the right age might remember it, I'm going to share with you a portion of it just to jog your memory. It's a beautiful piece to remind us that our nature is to allow and welcome what is, to trust. We live in a friendly universe. And that universe is for us at all times. And whatever we're resisting, right there in that resistance is the presence of God. Right there in the thing that you're having an issue with accepting, God is right there. Presence is right there. Answers are right there. Divine mind is right there. And its only job in you is to guide you. And you know it's always been guiding you since birth. It's been guiding you whether you've known it or not. I heard a fantastic story on Friday at lunchtime. I had lunch with an old friend. And this is a story he actually experienced. A friend of his is a non-believer, an atheist actually. And so he had this dream, a very vivid dream, that he was in his car and he was driving in a certain place in Newport, on the coast in Newport, and around a curve came a red car and smashed right into him. He woke up, head-on collision. So my friend was with him. They were driving the same place, and he hadn't told him about the dream yet. He just pulled over and he said, "Pardon me, I just need to pull over for a bit." And just after he pulled over, this red car came in the wrong lane. So it was a precognition. That thing itself that loves you protects you and always has your best interests at heart. And my friend's friend had enough presence of mind to, when he realized he was in the very same place as his dream, to pull over. Because sometimes we get that awareness and we make up a story about, oh, we can't do something because we can't explain it. We don't really know. And that might have been the end of two lives. But he did pull over. He did pull over. And I think I think he's still an atheist. He hasn't. It's okay. It could just be one of those major coincidences that we don't believe in, but people do. I have another story that I think also shows how a group of people, or children especially, can come into presence without any discussion. This is a story told about a handicapped boy who was maybe 8 or 9 years old, and he was walking with his father. And some kids his age were playing baseball. He had never held a baseball bat in his hands. He had never thrown. I mean, he, but he wanted to play with the other kids. And he said, he asked his father if he could please play. And so the father went up to one of the kids out in the field and said, can Shay please play with you? He'd like to play. And the kid said, I don't really know. Like, he said, but we're down 8 runs and it's the 8th inning. Why not? Let him play. So he took a position in the field, and he didn't have to do anything, but he had a glove on his hand, and he was happy because he was playing with these other kids. And then their team went up to bat. And it was kind of miraculous because they had been down these 8 runs, and runner after runner came in, and now the bases are loaded. There are 2 out, and it's Shay's turn to bat. And are they going to let him? The father's heart was in his mouth, in his throat. Would they let him? Would they say, pull him out? Because obviously he wasn't going to be able to do anything. And then something really amazing happened. The pitcher of the other team took a couple of steps forward and gently just lobbed the ball. Shay swung and missed. So he took another couple of steps forward. So he was really close and again swung and missed. And then again, he was really close, and Shay kind of hit a little bit, a little dribble of a ball. He was thrilled, and they're all saying, run, run. And the catcher did a marvelous thing. He picked up the ball. Instead of throwing it to first, he threw it way out to center field, way over everyone's head. The kid went to first. They said, run, Shay, run. He went to second. And the center fielder caught on. And so he threw the ball to one of the bases, and the kid, they cooperated so this kid could go all the way around the bases, have a grand slam. No one said anything. But something greater than those kids where it's in charge. I think that's what we connect, its presence. Its presence. No word was spoken. They just did the right thing for this boy. So that's our job this week, is to notice when we're needing to be right and to make a conscious decision to stop, get still, and remember who we are. To remember when we're in resistance to anything, when you say, this just sucks, this is horrible, remember this very instant, the thing you're resisting, God's right there. Divine mind is right there. And it's for you. Its whole job is to assist you in your life so that you can have a great life. So, Desiderata says this, go placidly amid the noise and the haste, and remember what peace there may be in silence. As far as possible, without surrender, be on good terms with all persons. Speak your truth quietly and clearly, and listen to others, even to the dull and the ignorant, for they too have their story. Avoid loud and aggressive persons. They are vexations to the spirit. If you compare yourself with others, you may become vain and bitter, for always there will be greater and lesser persons than yourself. Enjoy your achievements as well as your plans. Keep interested in your own career, however humble. It is a real possession in the changing fortunes of time. Exercise caution in your business affairs, for the world is full of trickery. But let this not blind you to what virtue there is. Many persons strive for high ideals, and everywhere life is full of heroism. Be yourself, especially do not feign affection, neither be cynical about love, for in the face of all acrity and disenchantment is perennial as the grass. And then they conclude, therefore, be at peace with God. whatever you conceive him to be, and whatever your labors and aspirations, in the noisy confusion of life, keep peace in your soul. With all its sham, drudgery, and broken dreams, it is still a beautiful world. Be cheerful. Strive to be happy. With all its sham, drudgery, and broken dreams, it is still a beautiful world. Be cheerful. Strive to be happy. Remember to surrender to the power within you. And so it is. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thanks. So, Ed, are you going to help me with this? I'm going to pray in a moment, and we're going to set the tone, the band, or some of them, or all of them. We're going to set the tone first, like we did last week, when it was completely spontaneous. Hi, Jules. Okay. Oh, what a good idea, since you're so good at it. So we'll just let you get comfortable, get quiet. In this holy moment of now, I remind myself that there's only one power, one presence, one life, and it's the life of the One. I call it God, but it doesn't matter what you call it. Its nature is love, and it operates through a perfect, perfect law, always on time and precision and divine order. It is. So knowing that this is so, I know for each one that the power of now is clearer than ever before. I know for each one that the meaning of surrender has been expanded and is right for each one to pick up and expand within his or her own consciousness, in her or his own inner life. I know there's something wonderful happening today in each person here. And I know that it not only blesses that person, but it blesses all of their family and friends, anyone that they come in contact with, because that presence is leading the way. That presence is keeping that person safe. That presence is love itself. I know that it's good and very good, and my heart is open with gratitude for all that this thing itself is. And with my heart filled with gratitude, I simply place this word in the law of mind, knowing that it's already complete. And please help me anchor this by saying with me, and so it is.